Havana, you turn to another Jew and you say what? Salam alaikum?
In the plural. Why the plural? Because you're not just greeting the Jew, you're greeting what? The Shama, which is Chelik Elahayim Imal, the godly soul. So Rav Soloveitchik says that's why Abraham's interruption was no interruption. Just, I'm not, let me get to my point, then you'll ask. And in the middle of the Shema, when a Jew greets you, you're supposed to return the greeting because it's no interruption. Because it's Shalom Aleichem to the Jew and the Shekhinah, the Neshama, which is part of the Shekhinah.
At what point do you greet the other Jew? At what point in the Kiddush Levana?
Take a look at the Siddur, Verna. It's in there. Take a look at the Siddur. In the middle of Kiddush Levana, all of a sudden, from left field, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem. Because doing Kiddush Levana is a make-believe greeting the Shekhinah. When you turn to a fellow Jew with a Shalom Aleichem, you are greeting the Shekhinah. Because the Neshama that's inside of us is part of the Shekhinah. Isn't that Givaldik? Morale be Prague. Rav Soloveitchik explains it beautifully. So therefore, Abraham was not being chutzpedik, chalila. When by greeting another human being, he is greeting the godly soul. Every human being has a godly soul. Even a goy has a godly soul. Those days, there were no yid. Okay? So therefore, says the Rav Soloveitchik, that the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, that includes greeting and being kind and courteous to another Jew. That's how we are mekabel O Malchus Shemayim. Yes, Alan.
Ashkenazim say Shalom Aleichem.
Right.
Fardi don't.
I don't know.
They
I think the Sfaradim do too.
But
anyway, that's some Aral Bi Prague's interpretation. But what about Shemoneh Esrei? If that's the case, why am I not permitted to what? To return greeting of Shemoneh Esrei?
Must be it's not the same as the Shemoneh.
Exactly, Ruben. How does it differ?
We're standing for one thing.
So Rav Soloveitchik explains, let's say the three guests would have come when Abraham was petitioning God about Sodom. I am but dust and ashes. And the three guests would have come knocking then. Would Abraham interrupt then?
No.
He wouldn't even know they're there. Why? Because when you were reading the Shema, God is coming to visit you. When you're reading the Shema, every time we read the Shema, God is coming to visit me. So when the other Jew greets me, I'm supposed to interrupt like Abraham did, because there's no interruption. Because greeting, when God comes to greet me, that means that I'm supposed to take my kindness and greet another Jew. It's no interruption. But Shemoneh Esrei is a different ball game, Abraham. There God is not coming to greet me. There I'm standing in front of him, begging for what I need. Life, parnasa, children, health, whatever. If I'm standing in front of God, petitioning and begging him, nobody else exists but me and you and me. There's no three strangers. There's nobody else. Because there God is not coming to visit me. There I'm standing in front of my Creator, begging and pleading for whatever I need and everybody needs. Then how dare I even notice anybody else? It's me and you and you and me. So it's a totally different, as Reuven said, it's a different setup. So Shema is the God coming to visit us. Like Father Abraham was visited. There greeting another Jew is no interruption. You're going on a field trip. But Shemoneh Esrei, God is not coming to visit me. I am petitioning him. How dare I even notice anybody else? And that explains what, Alfie? The difference to Alan's Gutakasha. Now, Hachnosas Orchim is so great. Hachnosas Orchim consists of three steps, and the acronym is Eshel, right? The Torah says Abraham planted an Eshel. So Poshep Shad Eshel means an orchard, right? But the rabbis say Eshel is NYPD, Muhammad, FBI, is an acronym. Aleph stands for Achila, Shin stands for Shtia, and Lamed stands for Levia. Hachnosas Arachim has three levels. Aleph Achila, what does Achila mean? Gefilte fish and the roast beef, not together, you know. He gave them tongue on rye, right? With mustard, Rashi said. Abraham's deli, tongue on rye and mustard, Rashi said. Shtia, to give drink. And what does Levia mean?
Company.
Escort. It says that after they were finished, the Torah says, after they were finished, Abraham, Genesis 18, verse 16, Abraham went with them to escort them. Rashi said he still thought that they're human guests. The jig was not up, he still thought that. And therefore, he went to escort them. Which would you think is the greatest mitzvah of the three? Ask anybody. What's the greatest mitzvah of the three? What?
What do you think?
Logically.
Logically would be eating or drinking.
Eating and drinking, right?
Escorting.
The Rambam says that the greatest mitzvah of all three is the escort service. So the $64 question is why? The guy's hungry and thirsty. You give him a delicious meal and delicious what? Iced tea and lemonade. Right? Or cabaret vignon. He's hungry and thirsty. You give him a delicious meal and delicious food. Right? What is that? Chopped liver? And you give him chopped liver too. Verna, you give him chopped liver. And yet the Rambam says that's great, but it doesn't hold a candle to the escort. What are you doing in the escorting? The guy finished his chopped liver. He finished his jello. He's well fed and he's well taken care of. All you do is escorting him out the door. How could that be, says Rambam, much greater than the chopped liver, the roast duck, and the iced tea that you gave him and the delicious wine? Why?
It's a sense of honor. It's a sense of honor to the guest and to the host.
Excellent. Why? Yes? Reuven, you going to say the same thing?
Oh no!
What were you going to say? Why is the escort greater?
I just knew that it was. I didn't know why. I liked what her answer was.
Yes, you didn't read my column on Torah Tidbits, I guess.
No, I didn't.
Because I give the punchline there.
Well, I'm going to read it when I get home.
Okay. So that's the answer. Like Verna said, that when you escort someone out the door, you're giving him kavod. You're giving him dignity and kavod. Why is that more important than what? Than the chopped liver and the gefilte fish? Why?
I would say something a little different. I would say, what's the use of feeding them if he walks out and somebody's going to put a gun to his head and say, give me your money? You have to worry, you have to worry about protecting them.
So how is escorting him protecting him? You're right. Moralby Prague says that. Somehow, if you escort the guy, you're giving him good karma. The Moralby Prague says that. You're giving him good karma. It's like an aura. That's what Rambam says. Okay? The Rambam doesn't give that reason. The Rambam doesn't give any reason. He just says that the most important mitzvah of Hachnosas Orchim, which is greater than receiving God's presence, is the escort. And Verna said, because of kavod. Why is kavod more important than what? The gefilte fish and the chicken soup at the knedlach.
That is kavod. You give him a meal, that's also kavod.
So why is the escort more important?
Because the meal is temporary. Maybe and the escort is something that can last.
Reuven.
He's like a human being.
Reuven is reading my mind. When you give a guy a meal, if it's Chinese food, in 12 minutes he's hungry again. Maybe 18 minutes Chinese food, you know?
That usually happens.
Chinese restaurant, right? 18 minutes hungry again. But when you're giving him kavod, it's eternal. How is the soul described in Tillin? Psalm 30. Leman yizamecha kavod. King David says that my soul will sing. The soul in Tillin is called kavod. So when you escort somebody, you're giving kavod to his neshama. His neshama is called kavod. that doesn't wear off like Chinese food, and he becomes hungry and thirsty again. The dignity that you're giving him when you're escorting him, that remains part of his kavod. It becomes part of his neshama. It's eternal. It doesn't wear out. It keeps on going and going, and therefore it's greater than the meal. Because the meal, like Reuven says, is temporary. You're hungry again after a while. But the kavod that you give, the kavod, what's the soul called in Psalm 30? In Psalm, the kavod. That you give the kavod is eternal. It becomes part of the soul. And therefore it's everlasting, and therefore it's the most important part of what? The mitzvah. Why is the Jewish soul in Psalm 30 called kavod? Leman yizamecha kavod. King David says that my soul should sing to you, Hashem. Why does King David in Psalm 30 call the soul kavod? Ready? You ever wonder why? Because the tafkid of the soul is to give kavod to God. And where does the soul come from, according to the Kabbalah? From the kisei hakavod. The soul is part of the kisei hakavod, spun off from the kisei hakavod. Therefore, the soul is called kavod. So when you are escorting someone out the door after the meal, you are giving him kavod, which doesn't wear out, doesn't wear off like what? Like the gefilte fish or the Chinese food that you gave him. Pretty interesting. Now, it's amazing that after Abraham takes care of the guests, then Hashem says, that's the Derech Hashem. When does God compliment Abraham that he follows the Derech Hashem? Right after he escorts the guests. And no kumiki dikis in the Chumash. Genesis 18. Right after Abraham escorts the guests, then Hashem says, Abraham, Shomru Derech Hashem. That's the Derech Hashem. The Derech Hashem is what? To leave God's presence and take care of guests. So the title of Shomru Derech Hashem in Genesis 18, verse 19, comes immediately after Avraham Avinu escorts the guests. Then Hashem says, Ki yedativ, I love him. Because he observes the Derech Hashem. What's the Derech Hashem? To escort the guest. It doesn't say Derech Hashem after the tongue on rye and the mustard.
Right.
It's amazing how the psukim. It's after Abraham holech imam l'shalcham. Only after Abraham escorts them, then God says, I love him. Not when he gave them the roast beef. When I escort him, ki yedativ, I love him. Because he observes the Derech Hashem. That pasuk is said immediately after the escort. Not after what? The chulent. Not after the chulent. Amazing how you have to be medayek a pasuk. Right? Pretty amazing. Now, Abraham pleads. He pleads for Sodom. Now, it's just amazing. Genesis 18 says that the three men stood over him. It is Aviva. It says the three men stood over him. And then it says in Genesis 18, after he gave them the food, it says he stood over them. What is this, a game? They stood over him and he stood over them. What does it mean? There were three malachim. A malach stands above a human being, right? So when they first came to him, it says the three men were standing over him. After he did achnosas arachim, it says, Vahu omed aleihem. He turned the tables on them. When a person does achnosas arachim, he becomes greater than a malach. That's exactly what it says in Genesis 18, verse 8. Have to read it. If you read the English, you won't get it. But that's exactly what it says in the Hebrew. First it says, they stood alav, and after he gave them the mitzvah, Hachnosos Archim, it says, Vohu omed aleihem. He towered above them. To the mitzvah, Hachnosos Archim, a human being towers over what?
An angel.
Now, it says, again the text, he gave them Genesis 18:8. He gave them butter and milk, and ben habakar means tongue on rye. That's not a badatz hechsher. No badatz Avram would clarify that. People want to play games. He gave them the milk first, but the text in the Hebrew says he gave them chema v'cholav uben habakar. You can't play that game. So first he gave them the yogurt and then the roast beef. Alex. Because the English says, the Hebrew says, he gave them chema v'cholav together with the ben habakar. That's what the English, the Hebrew says. Chema v'cholav uben habakar. He gave them butter and milk together with the pastrami sandwich.
There wasn't any sword then.
But he's saying Torah wasn't given yet. But the Gemara in Erevin says Avraham Avinu kept the kosher kitchen. He kept, even though it was not commanded, keep the seven, go to heaven. The Gemara in Erevin says that Avraham Avinu kept the Torah despite the fact that what?
The Torah wasn't given.
So how could he trifle up his kitchen? How could he give them butter and milk together with the pastrami on rye? The tongue on rye with mustard.
Coconut milk. Coconut milk.
No, come on.
Well, I have a problem. They are angels, although he thinks they're
men.
Okay, if he thinks they're men, then there's a problem. Yeah, that they're all right, but if he knows that they're angels, angels don't need anybody.
Right, he doesn't know. Rashi says twice, Reuven, okay. Not once, that he thought they're human beings. He thought they're Arabs. Hobos, whatever.
So if they're Arabs, he can give them.
Yeah, but Avraham, you can't have anah. You can't even give a goy bosa b'cholah. Because bosa b'cholah is osa b'hana'ah. Made by Kashit Starke, thank you. Even though a goy doesn't have to keep the kosher laws, but you, a Jew, cannot give a goy bosa b'cholah. Why? Because it's osabana. You can give a goy pig.
Right.
But you can't give a goy bosa v'cholav. You can't even give it to your dog. Because bosa v'cholav is osabahana. You can't derive no benefit. So if you have a dog, you can't give your dog cheeseburgers. Not because the dog is Jewish, because you are deriving benefit that your dog is eating bosa v'cholav. You're saving yourself a can of Alpo. So you can't derive benefit. So how could Avram, who kept the whole Torah before it was given, how could he give Basa B'chala, which is Asa B'hana, to a goy? So the answer to this kasha, a Jew answers a kasha with what?
Kasha.
Again, you got to read the Hebrew. I hope you have the book. Genesis 18, verse 8. It says, he gave them the bakar, he gave them the, what's a bakar mean? Bakar.
Beef.
The beef, Asha Asa, that he made. It says he gave them the beef that he made. So the Zohar says, if you take Ulpan 103, it should have said he gave them the beef asher hechin, that he prepared. How do you make beef? It should have said he gave them the ben habakar asher hechin, that he prepared. How come it says he gave them the beef that he made? Fasten your seat belts, says the Zohar. This animal, this beef, he made through Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer, who wrote the Sefer Yetzirah? You can get it in English. Avraham Avinu.
Avraham Avinu
wrote, you can buy it in the Moriah bookstore in English. In Pomerantz, you can get it. It's written by Avraham Avinu. So the Zohar says, that's why it wasn't a problem with Basa V'Cholav. It doesn't say he gave them the beef, Asher Heichin, which it should have said. He says he gave them the beef Asha Asa. He made this behemoth through Sefer Yetzirah.
Like
if you make a behemoth through Sefer, don't ask me how, but that's an around the Prague made the Golem. You know how to combine God's holy names in the right Kavana, you can create Elsie the cow. That creature is not forbidden with Basa V'Cholav. Ah, it's called tofuri. It's parva. It's parva. It's not a cow born of a cow. It was made. That's why the Torah says Asha Asa Verna, not Asha Hechin. He didn't prepare it. He made it. So therefore, it's not Asa with Basa V'Chala. It's like parva, and therefore, no problem giving him that, the tongue sandwich together with a glass of Basco. Remember Basco?
Yes.
Asha Asa. You have to know how to read a pasuk, but if you read the English, you won't get it. But the Hebrew says Asha Asa, not Asha Hechin. And therefore, it was not a problem with Basa V'Chala. What? What's your question?
We want to know how to do it.
How do you do the Sefer Yetzirah? I don't know. Read the book. Read the book, and maybe on one stormy night, I don't know, when the lightning strikes, you know, and you combine the right letters, you know. Presto changeo. What does it taste like? Right? Probably tastes like tofu. Right? You don't know. Right? Probably tastes like tofu. Yeah. Now, why is Achnosas Orchim Nechamas such a great mitzvah? That it's greater than God's presence. Why is it such a super powerful mitzvah? We know the tafkir of a Jew is Vahalachta Bedrachav. The tafkir of a Jew is to emulate his creator. Who is the greatest host who receives guests every day? Kodesh Baruch Hu. Doesn't God invite us into his beautiful world every day? Doesn't God serve us with all the delicious food, right? And all the pleasures of the world? So when we do Achnosas Archim, we are emulating him. He invites us into his house. What's his house? The beautiful world. And he serves us. So when we do likewise to a guest, we are imitating him. And that's the tafkid of a Jew, to imitate the Valachta Bedrachav, to walk in his ways. Goes even further than that. Hachnasas Orchim reminds us that all of us are only temporary guests of him. Don't get too attached to Olam Hazeh. All of us are only temporary guests here at his grace. So when you do Hachnasas Orchim, it reminds us that all of us are only temporary guests in Hashem's world and not to become too attached to it. And therefore, such a great mitzvah, because it helps us focus on that idea that we are all Hashem's guests. Abraham pleads for Sodom. He says, Cholila lecha, how dare you to kill a tzaddik and a rasha? That a tzaddik should be just like the rasha. It is sacrilege for you. Shall the judge of all the earth not do justice? Genesis 18, verse 25. Very strong language. Cholila lecha, sacrilege to kill the tzaddik and the rasha, that the tzaddik should be like the rasha. He's saying this for Sodom. How come when God says, take your own son and kill him, he doesn't say these words? It's mind-boggling. Those very words. Who's a bigger tzaddik than my son Yitzchak? So if you're pleading for Sodom, that it's sacrilege, God forbid you kill the tzaddik and the rasha, shall the judge of all the earth not do justice? How come he doesn't make that same argument, Verna? My egin is zindala. My zindala is gurnished. My zindala is not a tzaddik. Is that justice to take an innocent child and kill him? Is that justice? And he doesn't say boo.
It's very hard to come into that.
Why doesn't he make that argument when God tells him to kill his son?
He should argue with God.
And he doesn't say boo.
I believe
for the sodomites, he puts on an argument better than Perry Mason. Remember Perry Mason? And when it comes to his own son, he doesn't say boo. That's an Eisen Akasha, Verna. Eisen, go ahead.
Just a guess, I don't know for sure.
Did you hear my question, Ruvain?
Yes, I did.
A good Akasha?
Very good Akasha, and I don't know if I have an answer, but let me guess. On the Isaac one, he didn't say anything because God said he's going to do that. He kind of led into it slowly with the Yechetka, you're some one
right.
Love, and then Yitzhak. But the point is, but he did, even though he didn't do it directly, he said, I'm doing this. He didn't leave him a chance for argument, and he wants to do what Hashem asked him to do, because he's an Eved Hashem. But here, didn't he kind of open the door like for Moshe also, please plead with me like for the Jewish people? That's my guess. I don't know.
Ruben, you're saying very good. I want to fine tune it. Go ahead.
Okay. It just occurred to me. Notice he just talked to Aaron. Somehow, I'm just taking this out of my head, but God and men are easier to talk to each other. Chas v'sholom, if he had said this to Sarah, what would Sarah have said to God? What would she have said?
No, but you're not answering my question. Why did he not argue with God for his own child like he argued for the Sodomites?
But Sarah did not know this.
But you're not answering my question.
What was your question?
Why did he not argue with God to protect his own son as he argued to protect the Sodomites?
I'm asking the same question. Why didn't he argue?
Okay, Reuven gave you the answer.
I'm asking
this. I'm going to fine tune it.
Okay.
When God is coming to Abraham, he's going to destroy Sodom. You understand? Yeah. So Abraham is thinking, you need my permission to destroy Sodom? What are you telling me for? You want to destroy Sodom? Destroy Sodom. Obviously, if you're telling me, you want my opinion. Otherwise, why tell me about it? I can't stop you, and you don't need my permission. So why is God coming to him? To consult him, Kaveh Yochel, to ask his opinion. You want my opinion? I'll give it to you. You can't do it. But when it comes to Akedas Yitzchak, God is not asking no opinions. The king is giving you a direct command.
Right.
Take your son and kill him. I'm not asking you for an opinion like by Sodom. I'm not asking for your input. I'm giving you a direct command. So when a king gives you a direct command, then what can you do about it?
Didn't you,
okay? Well, he says, bring him up as a burnt offering.
Yeah, but that.
So what is a burnt offering?
Yeah.
Bring him up as a burnt offering. Okay? There he's not asking an opinion. He's not asking for advice. He's giving him a direct command. By Sodom, he's not giving him a command. He's asking for his input. So I have a right to give you my input. Otherwise, you wouldn't ask me. By the Akedas Yitzchak, you're not asking me for any input. You're giving me a direct command. So Avram felt that what? That he had no option.
Question, Rabbi.
Go ahead.
We're commanded, at that time also were commanded, not to kill.
Right.
To lift our hands against each other.
Right.
How come God commanded him to take his son's life?
That's interesting. There's Hara'at Sha'ah. Yes, a great kasha. One of the seven Noahide laws is not to commit. Alan's asking a bumba kasha, a bumba. From Bumbaland. One of the seven Noahide laws is thou shalt not murder. So how could God tell him to murder? The answer is, if you look in the Gemara Sanhedrin, there's a concept called Hara'at Sha'ah. Hara'at Sha'ah means Hara'at with an aleph. Hara'at means a temporary instruction. A temporary emergency edict. Do you know, Werner, that the year that Solomon built the Beis HaMikdash, that Yom Kippur, instead of fasting, the Yidden what? Feast. Look in the Book of Kings, the dates. The celebration lasted to Yom Kippur. Eating on Yom Kippur? Don't try this at home. So Talmud Mayakot in page 9 and the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that a Navi, a bona fide Navi like Shlomo HaMelech, Eliyahu Navi told the Jews to bring a carbon to Hashem on Mount Carmel. Bringing a carbon to Hashem outside of the Beis HaMikdash, even to God, is Chayav Karet. Like eating on Yom Kippur. Mount Carmel is 94 miles from the Temple Mount. How could Eliyahu HaNavi tell the Yidden to bring a carbon to Hashem outside the temple? That's like eating on Yom Kippur. So the Talmud has, it's called Hara'at Sha'ah. A bona fide Navi with a track record and a resume has a right to suspend the Torah law, even murder, as long as he stresses Alfie, Hara'at Sha'ah. Temporary. I sound like Donald Duck. Temporary. As long as the Navi stresses It's a temporary injunction. You have the same problem. Esther was a married woman, voluntarily having relations with another man. That's one of the three cardinal sins. Again, Esther was a Navi, Mordechai was a Navi, Hara'at Sha'ah. A Navi can pull that, as long as he's a bona fide Navi, which we don't have today, and as long as he stresses it's a temporary injunction. So Avram figured, I'm a Navi. God is telling me, but Torah's Hara'at Sha'ah, even though murder is forbidden, but in a one-time deal, a Navi can do that. Especially God can do it. How could Moshe Rabbeinu smash the tablets? There's a prohibition in the Torah not to destroy God's name. When Moses smashed the tablets, how many of names of God, Rennie, were destroyed? That's a terrible sin to destroy God's name. And yet Moses did it when he smashed the tablets. What's the answer? Hara'at Sha'ah. So Alan, that answers your gutakasha. So Abraham felt it's Hara'at Sha'ah, and therefore he has to what? He has to do it. Okay? Now, it's just amazing. If you read the text superficially, it looks like Lot is a bigger Baal Chesed than Abraham. Abraham tells them, you guys sit under the tree and I'll bring the food out to you. Lot invites them into the house. It looks like Lot happens to be a bigger Baal Chesed than whom? Than Abraham. But we know it's not so. We are called the children of Abraham, not the children of Lot. Why is Abraham's chesed greater? Abraham thought these guys are 3 years hobos or whatever. He's going to invite them into his home. Maybe they'll molest his wife or abuse her. Make sure my chesed is not on the back of my family. That's true chesed. Lot's chesed was wild. Verna, irresponsible.
He offered his daughter.
You see that? It was wild and irresponsible. What kind of chesed is it? Invite three strangers, or two guys now, into my home. I don't know them from Adam. Maybe they'll molest my wife and daughters. Lot's chesed was wild. That's not Jewish chesed. Jewish chesed is make sure it's not on the back of my family. Make sure it doesn't jeopardize my family. So therefore, yes, after Greek guests, I'll bring the lunch out to you. I can't invite you into my tent. Who knows what? My wife is very pretty. Who knows what you'll do to her? So that's the message, Verna. Make sure you, chesed, yes, but not on the back of my Bible. You have to have that balance. Go ahead. The balance. Lot was unbalanced.
Sure.
Abraham was balanced.
Don't we have examples of tzaddikim who gave away the food of the family? You're going to be a kallah, you need this, so he just gives you everything in the house.
You're right. You're contradicting me. Did those guys do right, though?
Not according to this.
Did they do right? If they destroyed their shalom bias, did they do right?
They didn't protect their children.
Right. He gave away the money for his children's naden. Is that the right thing to do? Who says the right thing to do?
But he's called a tzaddik, this person.
Rennie?
It's who tells, who suggests this.
If you look in Parshas Noach, it says, Noach ish tzaddik. Mm. Noach was a man of tzaddik. Yeah. Now, it should have said Noach tzaddik. Mm-hmm. I know he wasn't a leopard. And I know he wasn't what? Orangutan. Why do you have to say Noach ish tzaddik? Say Noach was a tzaddik. I know he's not an amoeba. Rennie, what's the answer? You gave the answer. It's good to be a tzaddik, but you have to be a mensch. First, you have to be mensch to your own family. He was an ish before a tzaddik. It's not my vart. You can write it down. This is the vart from the Tells of Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzaddik Avracha, Rav Gifter. Zecher Tzaddik Avracha. Say Noach Tzaddik. I know he's a man. He's not a tiger. But before you're a tzaddik, make sure you're an ish. You have menschlichkeit. And to give away your own daughter's, nadin to somebody else, that's being a tzaddik without the ish. You have to be an ish before a tzaddik. Gav gifte, zecha tzaddik of racha, said this word. You have to have the balance. You have to have permission from the wife. Otherwise, what good is it? If you don't have permission from the wife. Verna, let me tell you, you're beautiful, Verna. I got to tell you this. You're beautiful. The Gemara in Bracha says, please tell me. You got to hear this? Now hear this. The Gemara in Bracha says, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, the Sanhedrin wanted to appoint him the chief of the Sanhedrin. What did he say? I have to talk it over with my wife. Ask my wife. I have to talk it over with my wife. Let me have to talk it over with my wife. His wife was great, but they don't compare to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Why doesn't he say, let me talk it over with my colleagues? With Rabbi Akiva and the 69 other guys in Sanhedrin. Why did he say, Dafke, I have to talk it over with my wife? Aren't the greater... What does he mean by I have to talk it over with my wife?
It's value.
If he doesn't do right by his wife, then what is that?
Beautiful, Reuven, Rav Kook. I'm going to be the leader of Sanhedrin. You know how much time that takes? The president of Sanhedrin? I'll be away from my wife and kids. I can't be a tzaddik on bare back, said Rav Kook, Gemara. I have to ask my wife, means my family, for permission to be the Rosh of the Sanhedrin. Because it'll mean many lonely nights where I won't be home for dinner. I can't be a tzaddik on my family's cheshbon. I have to ask permission from my wife. Not talk it over. You read the Gemara there. I have to ask permission from the family whether she gives me the...
Go ahead,
Moichel. Because if she's not Moichel me, what good is it? Then I'm a tzaddik without the ish. That's what Avraham Avinu taught us. Chesed, but not on the back of your family. That balance. Lot was unbalanced, to say the least. Oy was the unbalanced. And therefore, we don't follow Lot's way, right? It's pretty mind-boggling. How could Lot make such an offer? Take my daughters, please. Remember, Henny Youngman, take my wife, please. Take my... So I have a Malamit Chus on Lot. Reuven, I have a Malamit Chus on Lot for that bizarre offer. They were all homos. He knew they wouldn't take him up on the offer. He lived in San Francisco or in the Greenwich Village. They were all homos. They don't like girls.
That's why
he made this offer to stall them, knowing they'd turn him down because they only like little boys. I'm being malamed chus. Avram, I'm being malamed chus on Lot. After all, sodomy. And therefore he made that offer, hoping to buy time. Look, he was a great man. Who comes from him? Mashiach.
That's
right. Ruth comes from him. Verna, let's not forget that. Ruth comes from him. And Ruth is the grandmother of the Mashiach. So he had greatness in him, even though it was distorted. It was unbalanced. So it gefällt a bissel Salz und Pepper.
Mary
Abyssal. Pasach. Right? Any questions, comments? Shikoyach? Thank you very much.
Shikoyach? What is the third word?
Levia. Escort.
Escort.
Levia means escort.
Thank you.
Never, when a person dies, it's Levia.
The same. It's
the same thing, but spelled differently.
Okay.
That's the escort. Thank That's a chesed shelemes.
Right.
You're escorting him on his final journey.
Right.
Right? Same word.
Quit.